his blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such a big deal? Serious sin that God is angry with those? Just let it go lightly? No sin makes God more angry than taking all that love and that revelation of his care for you and stepping on it and dragging it through the mud.
What it means to honor the Lord. That is what we're exploring today as we continue our series on the Ten Commandments. Number three, honoring the name of the Lord. Just exactly what that means and how that works out in our lives is the subject of our time today as we begin the week here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to our program. We invite you to spend time with us today as we key in on this third of Ten Commands, honoring the name of the Lord. Here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast.
Some of the other translations of the name of the Lord in italics, reading the Israelite woman's son blaspheme the name of the Lord. You'll notice that Lord there is important. As it said, I'm not sure what our ESV does with that. The name, just says the name. Everyone knew what this was. They had blasphemed the holy name of the Lord. You know, today the Jews won't even pronounce this name to this day. That's a lot of years of not pronouncing a name. Later, of course, they would use the variant and use the form Jehovah, which was adopted by the Jews. But from the earliest point, the name of the Lord would be spoken only by the priest on the Day of Atonement. But this practice was stopped because people started becoming superstitious with the name and associating the error of this man with the idea that he had simply spoken the name of the Lord this way. They looking at this passage throughout history, said, then we should never use that name. Never even use it. This was a real formative section in Scripture for the rabbis. Many of them, instead saying blaspheme, went further and inserted the word pronounce so that it read, this man pronounced the name, and that this sin was even pronouncing the name of the Lord. The reason I bring this up is because really the whole controversy here centers on the emphasis placed on the word name. The account tells us a lot about what it means to break the third commandment. That's why I picked it again tonight. What had this young man done? What had this young man done? He had taken the glorious name that had been revealed to Moses in the burning bush. Remember? Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground because the Lord was present. And Moses took off his shoes and he bowed, you remember? And he asked him about his name, and he says, I am who I am, Moses. And Jesus, we know in the Gospel of John, will grab that and fill that in for us. What this man had done was deliberately curse and blaspheme the name Yahweh. What a name. Isn't it interesting when people curse, they never say, curse word Chris Gordon? Maybe they should. Maybe I'm not a good guy. Or nobody drags your name through the mud and then attaches a curse word to it throughout history. It's a really remarkable thought, isn't it? That in all the nations of the earth, all the peoples that have ever existed, they take the name, they take the Lord, and even in our English language, we take a name of God and we attach automatically a curse word to it. How does that happen? I've always found that to be a remarkable proof of the existence of God. In the wrong kind of way to prove the existence of God. In other words, R. Heidelberg says that what naturally comes out of our hearts because of the fall and because of sin is a hatred for God and a hatred for our neighbor. That's naturally built into us. And so we naturally hate. We don't naturally love. I don't have to naturally teach my kids, you know, how to hate. I naturally have to work hard to teach them how to love, don't I? They have a sinful nature. Well, think about this. Every person is made in the image of God. And so throughout history, since we have this natural tendency that flows out of our hearts, we take the name of God and we attach the worst sort of profanity that we can to that name. What comes across here is that the man was so angry that he took the holy name of God, blatantly used it, and then attached the curse word to it, probably provoking the Israelite by dragging God's name through the mud and using it in the most degrading way possible. How serious was God about this? That's the question, isn't it? Oh, sin's not that big of a deal, is it? We pick which ones are big deals. What we find is that the things referred to God. They get a direct answer from him on this commandment. I think this is why I'm sure of it that Ursinus had this passage open when he was drafting this. Let's go to his mind about it. What will be the will of the Lord to make this clear? The third commandment said, God will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name. Guess what the mind of God was? God said, what you're going to do is all those who heard this are going to go and they're going to put their hands on him and stones are coming out. Now, this is the stuff where people say, you Christians, you guys are crazy. The question for us is, does God change? Is God holy? Does his name matter? Why was this so serious? Now, you know that the Old Testament examples, again, I said this was a particular kind of government for Israel in a theocracy, directly under the kingship of the Lord, where the Lord had the law and these things had to be punished. Obviously, we're in a different scenario right now, but it doesn't lessen the severity of the sin because we don't face judgment for these things. I think Dr. Godfrey's class has been very helpful to wrestle with how kings throughout history and Christendom decided what to punish and what not to punish. And at times, they punished certain things strongly throughout Europe and history. And there were times even in this country, in certain places, that even adultery was punished. And the line went further back and further back, didn't it? Now, I don't know if this was ever a law in any country for blasphemy after Old Testament Israel. Maybe in some of the Islamic countries for their gods. But I think it's important to ask the question here, how serious is the sin? And why is it so serious? You know why it's so serious? Because his name is a revelation of who he is and what he is like to you. When the third commandment speaks of the name of God, it includes everything in it that God ever said about himself. Now, it would be one thing, right, if God said certain things that we could not bear about himself. What has God said about himself? That's the question. Well, the Bible speaks of many names of the Lord. You know, the Old Testament is full of many names of God. And names are all what we call accommodations. They're revelations to help us understand God, to know God. So think of El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. He's almighty for you. El Elyon, the Most High God. There's no other God. There's no other God in heaven and on earth than the Lord God. Adonai, master. He loved you enough to buy you and purchase you. Yahweh, I am who I am, self-sufficient. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord is my shepherd. Throughout all of life, he shepherds me and cares for me and loves me and provides for me. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. How many times have we prayed to the Lord and he's healed us? And that he's actually heard our prayers. I can't even begin to count from this pulpit how many times I've prayed on behalf of your loved ones and the Lord's heard. And then the worst case scenario, if they died, he took them to be with him. He created all this. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Makodeshkim, the Lord who sanctifies you. I butchered it. I know I did. El Olam, the everlasting God. Elohim, God, your strong one. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is your peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. All these names that God gave reveal something about what he's like to you. And in a covenant people, what is he like to you? Look at the love and the care. Look at the mercy. Look at how he supplies your every need. Then the Bible uses the name in general. Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You who have set your glory above the heavens. Look up, you guys, tomorrow. And look at the beautiful theater in which you live. Look at the heavens and the beautiful stars and the moon and the sunshine and the mountains and the birds that run around in the air, fly around and sing before you're up praising the Lord as they were made to do. Get off the screens. He cares for you. He upholds your lives. And all that's revealed in his name. Save me, O God, by your name, Psalm 54. And vindicate me by your strength. Atheists say God doesn't exist. It's a remarkable claim. Look at all this. You're here. Your hearts are beating. Your eyes are looking at me. Your ears are listening to a word he inspired. And you're going to go out tomorrow with jobs he gave you, homes you live in, blessing food he's given you, children and family to enjoy, and all this rich blessing, all by his glorious name. And atheists say, there is no God. Oh, but they'll curse him. Agnostics say God can't be known. Really? The name of the Lord is a revelation. He gives himself all these names so that you might have a saving knowledge of him. Think of what Jeremiah said. So let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and he knows me. That I am the Lord, there's the name, who practices, what do I practice for you? Steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight in, declares the Lord. I delight to do these things for you. I am your deliverer. The name, one pastor said, these four letters, I am who I am. That is, I exist as Savior and Liberator. I make real what I say and I do what I promised. That's what my name means. The most glorious name revealed the Old Testament was given to instill in their hearts his great care and compassion for his people. Now that kind of leads us to question 100, right? Is it really such a big deal? Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such a big deal? Serious sin that God is angry with those, even who just let it go lightly? No sin makes God more angry than taking all that love and that revelation of his care for you and stepping on it and dragging it through the mud. One of the things I've been convinced about was something that Paul says in Philippians the other day. It just dawned on me. It's amazing how the scriptures, you're always learning something beautiful. But that little phrase that we're coming to next week, the Lord, be a certain way because the Lord is at hand. And some people read that to say the Lord's coming soon. And that's not what that passage is saying. That passage is saying live a certain way that in everything in life to recognize the Lord is with you. I think the psalmist says it when he says, I've always set the Lord before me. And let me just speak to our young people here. This is why we try to protect our mouths in how we speak with one another. This is why cursing is wrong. We're not perfect in this. I can even confess here tonight. The other day I was at home alone, and I dropped a huge pot of beans, and there they went all over the floor. And I guarantee you a word came out that shouldn't have come out. I didn't curse the holy name. But I thought to myself, why shouldn't I have done that? Nobody heard me. Did it matter? Nobody heard me. You didn't hear me. Who dwells in me? The Holy Spirit. That's why. The Lord is at hand. He's that involved in our lives, caring for us. You see, this is the point here. Abraham Kuyper was right, or even, I'll quote Dalma first, says something fascinating. Every believer must regularly ask. Now, let's move just not to speech for a minute. Let's move to actions. Every believer must regularly ask himself whether he is really communicating what God wills, or whether he's simply pressing his own will and using God's name to accomplish it. Now, that's a whole different application, isn't it? How many people say, God doesn't care that I do this or that? Abraham Kuyper was correct when he stated that we're seldom asked to show our gratitude to God by doing something. But rather, emphasis is often placed in Scripture upon being something for the Lord, and by being something, we in turn glorify and bring honor to the holy name of God. I'm sure tonight we don't run around cursing God's name. But I'm always struck, in light of all of this, what Paul said in Romans. You who say, do not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? For, conclusion, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. How many people have said, I can't be near that Christianity thing because there's so many hypocrites. And I used to smartly pop back, well, we'll take a few more. No, it's really not a good answer. Maybe we have to think carefully about this, because there are a lot of so-called believers who do not live out what they preach and believe. And this is what the Lord's calling us to, with honoring his name in our speech and in our lives. Peter, out of the gates in Acts, said, salvation is not found in any other, for there is no other name, listen to this, under heaven given, by which men must be saved or can be saved. And Philippians 2, as we read, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is who? Lord. That's who the man blasphemed. Jesus. This is what the New Testament is saying. The name is Jesus. And now you understand Jesus' statement, how wonderful it was. I will forgive, listen, in the New Covenant, think about this. I will forgive every blasphemy against my name. All except one. And that's a sin. If you're concerned about it, you've never committed it. I will forgive every. Listen to that. Don't we always focus on the one? Listen to what he said. I will forgive. And what he's telling us tonight is to come to him, and he delights to forgive us and renew us and help us. And judgment has passed from us. The ultimate revelation of God is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus who came. There's no other name given by which we may be saved. What's the best way then to put this into practice in our lives? How about this, if you want something very practical? Every morning, you can follow the outline of the Lord's Prayer. And you can ask him a very simple thing. You could ask him in prayer that in the beginning of your prayer, you would say and learn in the course of life in this day, hallowed be your name. Isn't it amazing Jesus gave that as one of the first petitions there in the Lord's Prayer for us? That's how much it mattered to him. What are you asking God? Well, you're asking God what our Heidelberg says, help me to know you today. Help me to bless you today. Help me to worship you today. Help me to praise you for all your wonderful works. Let me not go through life not stopping and praising you for all of this. Everything that shines forth from them, your almighty power, your wisdom, your kindness, your justice, your mercy, and your truth. It's right out of the Heidelberg. That's what you're saying when you start your day saying, "Hallowed be your name." Let that be on my lips and in my heart. And think about the positive way. You know, I've always been, maybe you've always been a little bit confused about that little verse in Ephesians. It says, making melody in your hearts to the Lord with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making that has the effect of what? Building up one another, encouraging one another. You know, every time you come and you learn in your lives to sing praises to him and to praise him in your homes and to praise him before people, and when we come and we sing these praises, do you know you are actively encouraging your brethren in hallowing the name of the Lord? Open your mouths. Think of what we open with tonight. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Notice in that psalm, it's all about the name. And this is what the Lord calls us to, whether we eat or whether we drink, whatever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of who? The Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These are just a few of the implications of the third commandment. Tonight, there's a lot more that could be said. But instead of using our mouths to speak things that are the filth of this world, the commandment, the heart of the commandment, is a call to replace it with praise and thanksgiving and the Lord's wonderful name and works. And that's only accomplished in your lives, listen to me carefully, when you have come to bow and to confess and to believe in the one who is given the name above every name. You must have Jesus. You must know him. You must come to delight in him and to receive his forgiveness and this bitter, complaining, hard spirit is replaced with a heart of praise. That's what God's will for us is in the third commandment.
Well, understanding the character and very nature of God helps us understand what it is to honor the name of the Lord and ascribe glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program. They're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for instructing us in truth and in righteousness. And thank you for forgiving our sins. May, Lord, we hallow your name in our lives. May we love your name. We love it because it's a revelation of who you are. We only know you in your word as you've revealed yourself to us. Let us find great delight to know you all the more, to sing your praises, and may our speech be fitting with full of praise, acknowledging you and glorifying you and seeking to edify others in the wonderful knowledge of the Lord. Thank you for forgiving us and for loving us, and may we now think a lot more about the third commandment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, tomorrow we'll continue with the Ten Commandments, looking at number 4, honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Join us for a rather intriguing look at command number 4. That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.